And you're tuned in again to the Jewish Activist Network right here on AM 620 every week. We're on here from 12 to 1. From 12 to 12:30 is Jewish Datelines. And then starting at 12:30 till 1 a.m., we'll be on with the Jewish Activist Network segment. I'm Joe Orlo, your host. Our call-in number, 718-569-0921. I have a little bit of a Hazerick voice. Bear with me. I have a touch of the flu. But we have a great show planned for you. Stay tuned right here on AM 620 for the next half hour for our program. And after we're on the air on AM 620, you can listen to us again for another 15, 20 minutes online by going to our website, JewishActivistNetwork.com.
Now, this week, we are hearing this weekend, last weekend, and for a little while, actually for a few years, but it's getting very, very heavy from the Obama administration, the pressure on top of Israel to concede more and more and more Israel-related construction freeze in Judea-Samaria. And all we have to do is turn to history to realize that it's not the Obama administration. We very much like pointing to people, pointing to and believing that it's something new. But no, this is the same thing in administrations before. What's going on in the United States, the pressure on Israel, is continuous. It's increasing. And Israel is becoming in a weaker and weaker position. Ultimately, there will be no choice. Israel will have to say no to what's going on. And there is a very interesting article on our website, JewishActivistNetwork.com. And we link to it, to the blog spot of Barbara Ginsburg. I just want to give credit to that, where she has different articles written in the past from the Kahana magazine. And that magazine was written many years ago. And the article we're going to read tonight, which is a short article, so bear with us, and then we'd like to discuss it together with something that Rabbi Spivak has been talking about on the last show. We'll pull those two things together. The title of this article is Israel, the U.S., and the Stinking Fish, written in 1976. That is over 30 years ago, about 33 years ago. The Stinking Fish is an old Talmudic parable, and we're going to read it. We're going to read this together. Please feel free to go to our website, JewishActivistNetwork.com. You can give us a call, 718-569-0921. Now, many times, says the article, Rabbi Meir Kahana, many times I have spoken of the Talmudic parable of the king, his servant, and the fish. Never was it more apt. Once there was a king who sent his servant to buy a fish. The servant returned with a fish that stank. In fury, the king gave the servant a choice of three punishments. Eat the fish, get whipped for the fish, or pay for the fish. In common with most people, the servant chose not to reach into his pocket. And he decided to eat the stinking fish. But after two bites, the stench made him give up, and he decided to get whipped for it. The pain of the lashes, however, made him stop that too. And he cried out, "I will pay for the fish." And so the fool ate the fish, got whipped for the fish, and in the end, had to pay for it anyhow. Those in Israel and without who refuse to understand that nothing will deter America from demanding that Israel make the maximum concessions, play the fool. Those who do not understand that there is nothing that Israel can possibly do, that there are no compromises it can make, that there is nothing short of full retreat to the 1967 borders that will satisfy the United States. They are the same fools as the servant who ate, got whipped, and in the end had to pay anyhow. Their refusal to make the difficult choice of telling the Americans no, now, at this moment, will see them making the retreats they hope will avert American anger, see this effort fail, even as the frontier moves from its present lines within the Arab heartland to the new ones close to the Jewish cities. And most important, the Americans will make the same demands they always have envisioned. Since the days of the Roger Plan, total Israeli withdrawal. And since this is a thing that not even the most dovish of Israelis will agree to, the results will be an ultimate Israeli firm no. An ultimate American anger of the kind all men of the, quote, new initiative propose to avert today by compromise. And exactly the same conditions of confrontation that would come anyhow if the Israelis said their no today. There would be one great difference, however. A no today will bring the crisis while Israel stands poised near the Arab capitals. A no tomorrow, after all the hapless and confused compromises and initiatives, will bring the same crisis near Tel Aviv, Be'er Sheva, and Netanya. This is what happens when foolish and confused Israelis, by refusing to pay the price of saying no to the stinking fish of pressure, attempt to eat it, submit to getting beaten over it, and then learn to their dismay that there is no escape from the difficult decision that they should have made in the first place. Let the Israeli government, its men of, quote, new initiative, and the Jewish leaders in America understand several basic axioms. One, America is committed to the Roger Plan and the world's interpretation of Security Council Resolution 242, i.e., Israeli withdrawal from all, but insignificant, parts of the lands of 1967. This includes the Golan Heights, Gaza, the entire West Bank, and the entire Sinai, as well as changing Jerusalem's present Jewish sovereignty status. Two, American interests lie in the minds of most officials in Washington with Arab oil, the huge potential Arab market, and with supplanting Soviet influence with American. This means, at best, a, quote, even-handed policy rather than a pro-Israeli one. Three, America is moving steadily to recognition of the, quote, Palestinians as a people, and of whomever they decide to have as their leaders. Those leaders are clearly the PLO, and already the move to moderate the PLO, quote, public relations-wise, is underway so that Washington can move more easily, can more easily pressure Israel into recognizing them. Four, the Ford-Kissinger administration is determined to prevent stagnation and will pressure Israel into concession after concession. Five, no administration will go to war for Israel, and no administration will continue the present aid level, no matter what Israel does or concedes. The frantic search for human allies will end as unsuccessfully as those Jews in the past who forgot what faith in the Jewish God was and who turned to Egypt or Assyria or other, quote, allies for help, only to learn to their dismay that the allies betrayed them. Stinking fish are not made to be eaten or to get looked for. One must have the courage to look at the truth and pay the bitter price of honesty. America is tired of the Israeli nuisance and wishes it would eat the fish already. The time to loudly proclaim no is now. That's the article. And how appropriate it is today. Let's take a look at this article carefully, do some analysis on it. First of all, this is written in the Ford-Kissinger administration. During that administration, that administration was determined to prevent stagnation, and it was pressuring Israel to move ahead with concession after concession. Nothing new today. nothing new. The only difference is that today, we are standing after Israel's borders are smaller. They took the Jewish people out of Gaza. The Sinai is already given. And in this article, it was referring to the demands of giving Sinai, Gaza, and all the other things that they want today. But now Israel's much, much smaller. So, Israel's continues to eat the stinking fish, the fish of pressure, and get whipped over it. And ultimately, they're going to have to make the difficult choice anyways, but on much worse terms, in a much worse situation. So this is important for people to realize. Don't keep pointing to specific people like the Obama administration, or in Israel, pointing to Netanyahu, or pointing to anybody, specific person in power. This is something overall, a sickness, a real sickness, and an inability to see, which is plaguing the Israeli government, and the pressure which is coming from the American administrations and the State Department.
You know, I find the... Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to give our number, 718-569-0921. Again, 718-569-0921. Go ahead.
I find the analogy, the mushel from the Gemara, very apropos for this, the way Rabbi Kahana is using it, because in the way it's set up, the servant brings the fish to the king. And in the way he's using it is that the servant here is the leaders of the government in Israel, the current government, the past and current governments in Israel. And the king is the United States government. And what happened was that in order for Yitzhak Rabin to be elected, he was part of the Labor Party. They made there were illegal meetings, I believe, between Shimon Peres and the PLO in, say, Tunis or wherever it was that they were meeting. And they made an agreement that if the Arabs who were voting in the elections in the land of Israel would support the Labor Party, and that Yitzhak Rabin would then become prime minister, there would be a quid pro quo that in turn the Labor Party would then support the creation of a Palestinian state, something along that line, or at least support the peace process. So when Labor did win the election and did it with the support of the Arab vote, so they turned around and then they came to the United States and said, what we want to do now is... we want to have this kind of a peace process. And that's what led to the signing on the White House lawn in September of 1993. As I've mentioned on the air, I was outside the White House protesting at that point with many others. And that was basically the servant bringing the stinking fish to the king. And now, you know, a number of years later, a decade and a half later, as you point out, the government in Israel and the people living in Eretz Israel now have this, what are they going to do with this stinking fish, which has just begun to stink even more as years have gone by, and Gaza has now become a hotbed of terrorism, more as they begin biting away at the fish, that is, so to speak, giving away control of the land of Israel, it begins to come back more and more just how bad it is. Now they have to explore other options, and eventually, as you say, they're just going to have to pay for it. There won't be any other options. They're going to have to bite the bullet. To mix a metaphor here, they're going to have to bite the bullet and basically say no more. And there's going to be a price to pay, a very high price.
Yeah, Ben. The real thing that one thing that's unfortunate is the lack of vision of people and of our leaders. And people wake up and they wake up late. And sometimes they just simply don't wake up at all. Now, I understand Rabbi Spivak was speaking about something similar.
Yeah, it's a matter of concept of waking up. It applies also to what Rabbi Spivak was discussing on his program. I caught the end of it. He was having a interview with Malcolm Holine, who is the head of the, I believe, the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. And they were talking about this concept, if any of our listeners were listening at that point, of, I can't recall the term exactly, Colin, if you can remind me, but it was something like universal jurisdiction. By the way, our call-in number is 718-569-0921. And basically what that means is that there's a concept in international law, apparently, that any court anywhere can basically assume jurisdiction over any crime and say that someone can come to their court, can allege that a crime was done, and then the court can basically say, well, we will hear the case. So that if the person who allegedly perpetrated that crime now comes within the jurisdiction of that court, the court can issue a warrant, and because courts are very powerful, they have police powers, right? They can basically issue a warrant, and the police have to then follow through on that issuing of a warrant. So what that would mean on a practical basis is say somebody is, say a court in England, in Great Britain, decides to try a case of somebody alleges that a an officer of the IDF did some kind of war crime. So the court can say, yes, we'll hear that case. Now, let's say that officer gets off a plane in Heathrow Airport or wherever in London. So then there's a warrant out for his arrest. And as he steps off the plane, although the crime was not committed in Great Britain, and although he may not have even committed any crime in regard to the laws of Great Britain, but apparently he can be brought before the court and prosecuted. And this is the concept of universal jurisdiction. So how does that fit in? Because as our listeners will know, that we've been talking for many years about the State Department, which is not a court, but which was given power by the Congress. And by the way, it's an unconstitutional law. But it's interesting to know that an unconstitutional law is still the law of the land until the Supreme Court finds it unconstitutional. And basically, the State Department was also given this, it's not called universal jurisdiction, but they were basically given the power that they could decide who is guilty without any kind of, and this is even further than what the courts are doing, they could determine that anybody is a terrorist. And therefore, anyone that they want can then be shut down because the State Department considers them to be a terrorist. In particular, what happened in that case, as we know, is that the State Department decided that the followers of Rabbi Kahana, who are living in the land of Israel, are going to be considered terrorists. And then they decided... go ahead.
Just to clarify, mm-hmm. only a certain actual organization.
Right.
But no, in general,
right. So there were certain organizations that basically were disbanded anyway. They decided that. But once they decided that those organizations in the land of Israel were going to be considered terrorists, and they decided that just about anybody in the U.S. that forms a group and promotes the ideas of Rabbi Kahana is also going to be considered a terrorist. That's the kind of power that they had. And it's a different kind of a jurisdiction that they took on, but it's not so far off than what the courts are doing. They're basically, what they're saying, the courts around the world are doing is they're arrogating for themselves this kind of a power that they can deter, that they can go ahead and decide who is, in cases that are far away and beyond their jurisdiction. And that's basically what the State Department did, far away beyond its jurisdiction. The jurisdiction of the State Department is dealing with foreign countries, foreign entities, and now they began dealing with entities in the United States and impinging on free speech and so on. And as we know, just somebody who had at least two people, and one in particular, people who had that I'm thinking of, but there were a number of people who simply had websites that spoke about Rabbi Kahana, and the State Department suddenly decided this website is going to be a terrorist organization. So this whole concept of legal entities in democracy suddenly expanding their power. This has been going on for well over a decade, and we were fighting it here, tooth and nail, using every means we could legally to fight it. And I think we reached out to many organizations saying this is a bad precedent. And now we see that around the world that this is going on, not with foreign ministries like the State Department, but going on with courts basically reaching out and trying to attack Jews. And as Malcolm Holine pointed out very nicely, you don't see many of these courts. You don't see them going ahead and trying to prosecute real crimes, real terrorists, real crimes against people, real murders and attacks and so on that would maybe legitimately be within their realm if they want to use this concept of universal jurisdiction. Instead, what they're doing is focusing and bearing down on Jews. And I think we put out the clarion call that there was something out of order at the State Department. And again, using that analogy, you know, that basically now the fish stinks and people are saying we can't eat it. We got to say no at this point. And Malcolm Holine was saying just how many lawyers, like 30 lawyers in the U.S. alone working on trying to fight this. We had one lawyer here in the United States fighting it. We weren't able to find support. And now what we see is there are 30 lawyers fighting a similar concept. And I just kind of wonder out loud if we'd all work together on the case of the State Department calling these Kahanist groups terrorists, and we had said there's something out of order and they're doing that, maybe we'd be a lot further along the line in the current battle.
This is a common theme, waking up late and basically not willing to bite the bullet and to say to the fish, to tell the king, okay, I'm not going to bother eating the fish, I'm not going to bother getting beaten for the fish. I'll pay for it right now. And halavai, we will have that wisdom to say even now at this late stage, enough. We're going to pay for it. We're going to make the tough decision. And whatever happens after that, we're going to have to deal with, because we're going to have to deal with it anyways. It's not an issue of avoiding it. Yeah, we're not going to be able to avoid it.
There's another case, which I just saw online, that there's something called Iron Shield. You may be familiar. You're calling in from Eretz Yisrael, where they've been testing a system where they can shoot down rockets that are within a certain range, say within a few kilometers. I'm not talking about rockets coming from 100 kilometers or coming from Iran into the land of Israel, but say coming out of Gaza. So they're testing a system. And it's also, I think, fits in with this analogy in that the system works. It's going to be able to shoot down these rockets. They're going to be able to fine-tune it. I have no question. It seems no doubt, at least in reading the article, that the technology is there, and they've done what they had to, and they built a system. But sooner or later, you know, there's going to be more sophisticated rockets, and there'll be more rockets, and sooner or later, that kind of system is going to break down. And instead of shooting down the rockets, they're just simply going to have to say, we're going to have to shoot rockets into the areas where the rockets are coming from. And yes, there are going to be civilian deaths. And yes, there are going to be, the world is, and the UN is going to be there's going to be an outcry and an uproar. But again, at some point, you have to pay for the fish. You can't just keep eating it. You just can't keep eating those rockets that are coming. At some point, it's not going to taste good. It's not going to work.
Absolutely. And, the sooner we understand that, the better. I'd like to give this very nice website, the website that had this article. This is actually barbaraginsburg.blogspot.com. Take a look at that. barbaraginsburg.blogspot.com. She's putting up many articles, and she has an email list sending out an article a week, I believe. Articles from old Kahana magazines. The Kahana magazine was around in the 70s and possibly even the 80s. And basically, it discusses the current events, what was going on in Israel, what's going on in the United States. And from there you could see wisdom. Who is the wise man? One who could see what will be. And, of course, the opposite is the not wise is the one who cannot see what will be. And sometimes it's not that you can't see, but you don't want to see. It's a very, very common thing to not want to see. And take a look at that. And you'll be able to see, you'll be able to get a good idea, very nice articles. I definitely think it's worth it. You can also send an email to us, media@JewishActivistNetwork.com, if you'd like to get a weekly email about what we will be speaking on the show. Our website also has, we try to have the next show, the upcoming show, as early as possible, a few days before the show. You can always take a look there. Our number is 718-569-0921. If anybody would like to get involved with us, give us a call. If you want to get involved with also trying to sell some advertising for our show and get a commission, you could also be in touch with us. And now, there are a lot of interesting similar concepts, things happening here in Eretz Yisrael.
Before we go there, we have a caller.
Okay.
All right. Saul, you're on the air with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Yes, it's very important to stress the point of, you know, no matter how far down the wrong path you've been going, it's important to pay the price and turn around. The only question is, you know, what the wrong road is. In other words, I think that I don't believe that it will ever come a time where the non-Jewish world would ever begrudge the Jews their own sovereign state. And there's always going to be problems, so I don't really think in the end it's worth actually maintaining a Jewish state.
But let me ask you a question. Why would you say such a thing? Does history say that?
Yeah,
You have to look at the, with an open mind. You have to look at the past. You can't just make statements. I don't believe that the non-Jewish world will begrudge Israel of a state. Where do you come off saying such a thing? Based on what?
Just look around in the 50 or 60 odd years that Israel's been in existence. Every country seems to have a problem with it, unjustifiably, but the nature of God's layout for the world is that they just don't begrudge the Jews that much power to have their own state. So I don't think it's
talking
worth
about.
I think we should.
You forget the world. I don't even know what you're talking about. Did you forget about the last 2,000 years? You're just making these wild statements. I don't believe it's true what you're saying. I believe that there are many nations that will and would like to begrudge the Jewish people of their own sovereignty. And in fact, that's what we see all over the place. All you have to do is open your eyes and see all the European countries. That's just what you were talking about. They are now issuing arrest warrants for Israeli officials. I don't have to talk about the Arab countries.
Yeah, so they don't begrudge. They don't want a Jewish state, you're saying, right? You agree with
right.
me. That,
yeah, that's what you're saying, that's not what it sounds like. Before you were saying that they will begrudge the Jewish, that is, they will allow Israel.
They will not.
So we don't have to worry. That's what you just said.
No, I'm saying is it's too much of a hassle to try and maintain a Jewish state before the Messiah, because the non-Jews will never feel comfortable with it and will always have a problem with it, no matter what nation.
Why do we have to care?
The logic is backwards. Therefore, we shouldn't have a state, then we should have a Holocaust.
Because
that's the alternative.
No, we should be righteous people standing up for morality.
Do you realize that before the state, in the early 1900s, there was an attempt to wipe out all the Jewish people?
Yeah, but,
I'm not sure you're aware that about. Wait. Are you aware that not only in Europe, but the Arab countries, afterwards, forced all the Jews there to leave? Just about all of them. There was tremendous riots and pogroms, and they fled. Do you know that there are Arab countries that have no Jews now, but they used to have Jews? A lot of Jews.
Okay, but I think our best weapon is to be righteous and holy.
Yeah. Do you study history? Do you remember what happened only 60 years ago?
Yes, but if we all in unison decide to be holy and righteous people, God will protect us and bring the Messiah.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that they weren't holy, righteous people?
There were, but I'm saying as a whole, we have to all come towards the God and to be holy and righteous people.
Thank you for your call. I just, again, this is the whole concept of ignoring what's going on in the world, and saying no hishtadlus. We just have to be righteous. This is part of being righteous. Part of being righteous is saving your life and saving the lives of others.
We're just about out of time. For those who'd like to continue our program and hear more, Go to our website, JewishActivistNetwork.com, and tune us in next week right here on AM 620 at 12:30 a.m. Wednesday night after midnight. Thank you.